The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and family closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we've got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Delp.
And Melissa Delp.
In the house!
So I made it back from L.A.
Yay! Very glad
Welcome
to have you back.
Thank you. It was an exciting trip. Got to do a lot of it was for work, but it was a cool work thing. Got to meet Deion Sanders. That's a cool thing. Every time that happens.
Every time?
Yeah. I also met Chef Jeff. Have you guys heard of him?
Nope.
He's like a TV chef whose name rhymes. He had a cool story, a cool tale. He was like a drug addict. That's not the cool part. But went to jail, learned how to cook, became a famous chef.
Okay.
Bravo. And then the other more exciting thing that happened this week, Ryan and Katie had a baby!
Yes!
Congrats to Ryan and Katie. One of the reasons they're not here.
Yeah, probably the reason they're not here.
Yeah.
Little Farron, welcome to the Tantrum House family.
Yay!
Pretty pumped.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Yeah, we'll have to hear more about that when they come back on the show.
Let them share all the exciting news and details.
Yes. But we did get to see Little Farron. So.
Yep, super
and
cutie.
None of us guessed the name.
No.
Yeah, Ryan had, he was pushing for it. I think he wanted us to work harder at it.
No. I was misled on some of the clues as to what her name
misled.
Was.
Misled.
Well,
nice.
I think our kids didn't understand some of the clues, and then they told me incorrectly what the clue actually was. So
I think Ryan did change his mind on it, too, because he originally told me that it was like a Russian heritage or something. But then he found out, apparently, it's in like tons of languages. Like he couldn't even determine if it was like Celtic or Afghan or I don't even know, 13 other kinds. Is it Celtic? Celtic. Which
Celtic.
One are we saying?
Celtic.
Celtic?
Yeah.
It's actually Gaelic.
Gaelic. Ooh,
Very cool.
Excellent. So we've obviously been playing some board games this week as well.
Yes.
We got a bunch in the mail.
Yes. Whew. Christmas time.
At Thanksgiving.
Yes.
That's the best time to have Christmas time, I think. One of the cool ones that we got to play this week was Everdell.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, man. So pretty.
Cool.
Love the components.
That tree just looks cool on the table.
It does.
The tree is very neat. I actually liked the squishy fruit berries the best. Did you guys get to
feel
those?
The squishy fruit berries.
They look like just hard plastic berries, but they have some, like, squish to them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think Tidal Blades was talking about their fruit was going to be squishy.
Okay.
Ah, maybe everybody's getting on the squishy train.
Okay.
It was cool. We played it. It's a worker placement primarily,
but
lots of card set collection.
Tableau building.
A little engine building.
Yeah.
So what are you? Are you the different animals in the forest? Or
You are building a city.
Okay.
And you will...
For the animals.
Yes.
Right.
So you will add animal critters to your city and then also build buildings.
Yeah, construction
so
and critters.
People.
I don't know what we are. We're like forest gods.
Yeah, I think we're probably part of our city and helping
build. We're the mayor of the town, I guess.
Yeah, so there's four different factions. There is...
And they
squirrels,
all have cool wooden meeples with them.
Yes. Squirrels,
so
hedgehogs,
is,
turtles, and
so I guess you're like
bunnies,
a race.
And
race.
Mice.
Okay. So I see on the box collector's edition. So I'm guessing the wooden meeples and the like that all that stuff is probably
the deluxe. Some of it is.
The most of it comes in the base. The squishy berries come in the base.
So you check that out? Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have
we
like
got some
wooden,
metal coins.
Yeah.
And,
they're nice heavy golden metal coins. And then there's like these wooden barrels. The engine building part is like if you buy a specific construction, later you can add a critter card for free.
Okay.
And so you've got like little markers that designate that. And so those are, I think the original came with cardboard punch outs.
How many player counts have you played so far? Just two.
We've just done the two player. Yeah.
I wonder what it would feel like with four.
I would love to play more. Usually, a worker placement is a little better when you've got people fighting over the worker spots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were pretty much able to just pick whichever one we wanted. And
yeah, I think one problem I had trying to get was get enough cards in my hand And because we only played two players, the meadow area where
the store,
our main pool of cards, it didn't flip as much because it was just the two players. I think with a four player, it would be a little easier to get the specific cards that you would want.
Okay. They might come up more. It might be people stealing
them,
too.
Well, that's true. People would be stealing them, so maybe it would balance out.
The most interesting part of the game is that the way the meeples work, like, it's not a game where you can get more meeples by doing something. Mm-hmm. So you play four seasons, and at the end of the seasons, you actually add more meeples to your supply for the next round. And so the game starts off, like, really, not slow, but, like, you're only placing two meeples. Maybe that's really fast. So the first round is like lightning. Second round, now you're placing four, and that's pretty quick. And then the third round of the game takes as long as the entire other portions, because now you have six workers that you're placing, and you have a lot of stuff you can do. You've built up your store. Pretty cool experience, and very just gorgeous table presence.
You guys will be putting out a video review sometime in the future.
Yes. Yeah, we'll definitely have to do that, because it was fun. It was really enjoyable.
Yes. Kevin and I played a game with some interesting, unique components as well.
Yes, we got to play Tutor. Academy Games sent us a copy of the base game plus the miniatures, not expansion, but like
additional upgrades.
Yeah, so the game comes with meeples, that wooden meeples that you can use to place out on the board, but this comes with miniatures that you can place out on the board. And so it's got the Tudor theme, T-U-D-O-R, so that time frame. And
like you're helping someone with their math.
No. But the unique component is, Melissa.
Henry VIII is not the unique component. That is the fact that Tudor's The unique component is that each player has a player screen that is shaped like a hand, kind of sticking up with the five fingers, and then there are plastic rings that you put onto the fingers. The rings are different colors, and the different colors allow you to move in different ways and get different cards, but then also the placement of the rings on the different fingers activates, enhances certain actions. So if you have it on like your pinky and your thumb, it enhances a certain action as opposed to rings on three fingers. And
yeah, I like it. This, you're not just placing the rings on your fingers. There's multiple, you have to think multiple ways. What colors do I have, and where are they on my hand? And that's just part of the game, because you are actually pushing your workers right up the board to try and collect tokens. So there's a set collection aspect to it, and there's a lot of different things going on. And we just played one type of game. There's actually the way the game works is there's different end game goals. So every game could be totally different on how you play. We introduced it to Sarah tonight, and Melissa...
Oh, it was a little rough.
Well, did you lose?
I did. But
it wasn't all my fault. I was getting ready to make this great move, and Kevin did something right before me and stole one of Sarah's rings. Unfortunately, the move I was making also resulted in stealing one of Sarah's rings. Yeah. So in the course of one turn, she went from like four rings down to two.
Cut in half. Now, did you guys put the rings on the cardboard hands? Because I actually played this at Origins when they had like a prototype of it, and they only had
paper rings,
which was really disappointing. The new ones look awesome compared to that. People were putting them on their own hands and then just referencing the guide thing.
We did not put them on our hands, although I guess you could. I think it was just, there's so much things going on. I just want to
keep it in front of you.
The one thing we need to tell people, if you do buy this game, and it's a great game, they are stickers that you put on the rings.
Not jewels.
Sticker
jewels.
They're stickers. So
with icons.
So if you are concerned about like stickers on things, like some people don't like.
I think you're colorblind or something.
No. It just takes time to put all the stickers setup. And all that. Some people don't like having to put stickers on.
Unassembled. Mm-hmm. Some assembly required.
Some assembly. But it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't see it being as bad as something.
I will say there's two stickers. One goes on the top of the ring, and one actually goes on the bottom of the ring, so that when you put it on the...
Oh, you can see it from both sides.
You're going to see the icon from back. Although the color is pretty...
Well, yeah. I guess maybe but if it's you were colorblind, you yeah. would still
but
be
But the back of the ring sticker is literally like a pin.
You gotta have your tweezers out to apply.
Yes.
So I was not allowed to touch the stickers at all because I do not have the ability to stick stickers nicely. So that was Kevin's job.
But
I didn't even
It was
go
fine. It wasn't too bad. And the rings, like Will said, are like awesome.
Pretty cool, yeah.
They did a great job. And the miniatures that come with the game. I think enhanced the game a lot. So we're going to be putting a review video as well, and then we're going to go to HQ and put a playthrough video as well.
I think we got a couple more that we can keep talking about before we move on to the next section. One of them that my kids have been playing all week is Googly Eyes.
What?
It's from Goliath Games, I think.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a, I don't know, Pictionary where you're like drawing pictures from a card, but you have these goofy looking ginormous glasses and the lenses in them, you actually change them out depending on which turn you're on or which space you land on. Mm-hmm. And so it actually goes from like, you know, crazy hexagonal view to like super blurry. Mm-hmm. It was actually pretty fun to play, I have to admit.
They had a blast while Will was gone. We played this several times. They were begging, can we play another round? I was like, okay, well, we need to move on and do this, or we have to get this thing done. But
well, I got home Saturday. Liam was sick, and so he asked me if I would play it. And it's not really meant to be a two-player game. Like, you can't draw for another team or whatever. So he actually, like, had invented a way of playing against the computer, basically. We were on a team and played against it. It was fun. That was a pretty cool one. And then we got a couple more in the mail that I'm looking forward to trying out. Shadows Amsterdam?
Yeah.
From Asmodee?
Yeah, I think one of their imprints called Libelud. So I don't know if I said that right. Libelud.
Looks good to me.
And Will's like, that sounds interesting because it's a real-time game.
I haven't opened it up yet. I haven't even opened it. I was just reading the description on the back. I love the illustration style, and it looks like, I'm just guessing, totally wrong. This is going to be funny next week when I actually have played it. It looks almost like you're playing like teams of almost code names or something where you're describing the path that you want your team to take through the hexagon layout. I don't know. It looks pretty interesting, but it's real time, clue giving and stuff. I don't know. It
code names killer right Maybe. Here.
What? No.
Yeah, there's no words in here, but it could be like trying to get the path the right direction. It says 2 to 8 players in a half an hour. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to trying it out. It looks like a fun one.
It does say 10 plus though. So.
Well, that's
like
just
ages.
Don't choke on the cardboard.
Well, yeah, I never go by what the age says because I know it's really expensive for child testing, and my kids can usually handle playing games that might say
most even, adults can't handle.
But yeah, it depends on how much text is on the card and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So, all
right, cool. Well, let's take a moment to give a shout out to our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by Fisher Heaton Games. Their game Intel with the new solo expansion Firewall is on Kickstarter now. And keep listening because later in the episode, we're going to give you some details on how you can win a copy of Intel and the expansion.
Oh, cool. We're giving one away, huh?
We are.
Awesome.
And then we don't want to forget our friends at Riftway Games. They have a Kickstarter as well on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
A game on Kickstarter called Beasts Edge of Extinction. And we talked about that in our last episode. So go back and listen to that if you want to hear more about that game.
We got to play Intel's expansion finally this week. Or I guess it was last week, time travel. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Pretty cool. My kids enjoy the original Intel. Mm-hmm. And the Firewall expansion thematically adds firewalls.
But it's a solo
to the game. Yeah. So basically,
so you just watch them play?
Yeah, yeah. You play exactly like you would the original game, except instead of another player taking turns, obviously, you have some AI kind of that works in to the way. So you reveal cards, you place your tokens on those spaces as required by the card, and then the firewalls either require you, if you're going to the space, you have to use that space, mm-hmm. or they help out your opponent by allowing the white hat hacker dude computer to own that space already. So, interesting. It varied a lot between like really easy and really hard. So it kind of depended on what your setup for the game was, but we enjoyed it. Had a good time with it.
Yeah.
So Intel is still on Kickstarter right now, and we got several others we need to talk about on Kickstarter. So let's jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption.
This episode, we'll be talking about three games, and some of them are already on Kickstarter that we didn't mention last week. Kevin, why don't you start us off?
So, Paradox University from APA Board Games is going to be on Kickstarter November 23rd, which I believe is Thanksgiving Day?
Yeah, I think so. 23rd, sounds right.
So, this game is a game for 1 to 4 players, takes about 10 to 30 minutes to play. And basically, in the game, you're getting these different cards that are in different periods of time. So think like Egypt and other time periods. You are getting these cards and trying to remember what you have, because some of them sometimes are going to get flipped upside down.
Okay.
And you're going to be passing them to your, like, players to your left, and you're going to be getting cards. So you're basically trying to make your opponents create paradoxes, because you want a certain set of cards in your set, and become the next professor of Master of Time at the Paradox University. So that's what you're trying to accomplish. So
that sounds brave to launch it on Thanksgiving.
I know. So we'll see how that goes. But the art's kind of cool. I don't know if they've done any other Kickstarters or not, but APA Board Games is bringing out Paradox University. Melissa, what else are we talking about?
We just wanted to mention again Tierra y Libertad.
Oh, yes.
It is on Kickstarter. I believe it went on November 20th.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a cooperative... Actually, it has several game modes. You can play it cooperative, one versus all or solo, and it's set during the Mexican Revolution. And
it takes about an hour to play, and it's for 1 to 5 players, so there's a good player count there. And 1910, so if you're interested in history, if you are interested in very thematic gameplay, this is actually a second edition to the game, so you can check that out, and they'll have miniatures in the game.
Okay. I remember seeing the campaign for this one. They've got the, like, busts, like the 3D printed busts, mm-hmm, of different characters. Yeah. And
the player boards look kind of cool. We can't really read Spanish, but...
I mean, I can say it, you can but say I it. Don't always know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think you are each taking a role of a rebel faction or something like that, or a rebel person.
A revolutionary.
Revolutionary trying to overthrow the government.
Yeah, so. Pancho Villa is in there.
I don't know who that is.
He's famous in the Mexican Revolution.
Okay.
I'm just not saying any words over here, so that I'll sound more intelligent than I am. I didn't even try to pronounce it. I actually broke the box a second ago when I picked it up.
It goes back together.
We can tape it.
Yeah, I do believe it's a company based in Mexico. So they've been working on their English for the Kickstarter page and other things. So
yeah, hopefully, saw the campaign. I think it was in English with Spanish subtitles or something. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there could be some instances where it's not exactly perfect, but it seemed like the English was good enough to understand what
consumable
was going on in the game. And what do you have, Kevin?
So December 1st, we have a game called Sea Rovers from History in Action Games.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually a reprint from 2006. So it's been out for 12 years.
Okay, wow.
So it's coming out. They're revamping a lot in the game. It's for 1 to 4 players. Very like piratey, nautical theme in the game. So think about Blackbeard and Henry Morgan and names like that. If that sort of, you know, the Spanish Main, those terms come up in this game. It's an adventure game. And it's trying to represent the history of the Age of Buccaneers and the Golden Age of Pirates in the game. So
cool. Lots of history action going on
this
time of year.
It takes about an hour and a half to play, and there's definitely some card-driven things going on, some pick up and deliver, and some hand management for some of the mechanics in the game.
Cool. Cool. That looks like a fun one. Yeah, so that's it. Three coming to Kickstarter. You can tell it's the holiday season. It's time to go play all those games that you've been buying now. Mm-hmm. I think we do have one recommendation from Larry on what not to buy. Should we throw it over for a Tantrum House timeout with Larry the intern?
The 60-second Tantrum House timeout.
Why would you even play this game?
Where we save you from playing the games that you wish you never played. Here's your host, Larry the Intern.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I hope you had a wonderful time with your family. And if not, well, I hope you enjoyed some food or some great games, maybe a great movie. This week on the timeout, we're looking at Outpost Siberia by IDW Games. Okay, sounds exciting. All right, let's see. The description says we're stationed in a science lab and the storm of the century is coming. Okay, intriguing. Strange noises, yeah. We're trapped. All right, check. A team member has gone missing. Wait, what? That's it? The only goal is to survive the longest? Are you serious? Okay, hey, designers, how about we rename this Outpost? Enjoy starving. Seriously, it's just an Arctic survival game with cards? Come on. Wait, my bad. I jumped the gun. Ah, there's a lot of pure luck and nope, sounded way better in my head before. As you were. Also, in case you haven't seen the artwork, the box is covered by a monster bear, and there's plenty of other freaks like him in this game. Let me tell you something, IDW game designers. Ain't no way a starving group of scientists are beating these Russian snow monsters. This game is getting two little sad gravestones out of five. Oh, poor Outpost Siberia. Hey, if you have a game you want to hear on the timeout, let us know in the comment section or on Facebook. See ya!
Well, thanks, Larry. I appreciate all the insight about that game.
The deep knowledge.
We did want to talk about one more game that we forgot about. Melissa and I have been playing a game.
We have.
And it is called Atlantis Rising.
I feel like I've heard of this. What's the...
From Elf Creek Games. It's actually in second edition.
Okay.
It's on Kickstarter right now. I believe it ends December 1st. If you're listening to this, just a few days till this is over. The campaign's over. And it's a co-op game. You are trying to save yourselves and your fellow Atlanteans from the drowning city. So the way you do that is to build components to this power core that will basically make this, like, Stargate.
Oh, right. Tying it in with your t-shirt.
And
nice.
You actually, like, portal through and save all the people of Atlantis.
Worker placement or strategy?
It's cooperative and sort of real time. I'm going to use it loosely. Worker placement because
simultaneous.
You don't have turns. Basically, like, oh, do you want to go there? Oh, maybe I should go there. And then you place them all out. And then bad stuff happens.
Okay.
And if your tiles are still there and not flooded, then you can actually take the actions that you...
Because if you're on a tile that gets flooded, then you just basically get your worker back and lose that action. Yeah. So.
Cool. So we got something fun in the mail this week that we were going to hold out until the end to show you guys.
Okay.
It's actually some Christmas presents.
Merry Christmas.
Oh! Got a copy of Christmas Lights.
Wow, look at that.
From 25th Century Games out.
Is one going to Ryan and Katie?
I think they already got one, so we'll just hold on. It probably is one per couple, I guess,
okay.
Supposedly.
I'll
you'll be willing to share
this
with Kevin.
This is from 25th Century Games.
Yeah, they. I know Katie and Ryan got to play this like as a prototype a while back, and they pretty much raved about it. I actually don't know much about the game because I didn't get to play it until now.
That's right. We should play it
on the show.
You're trading your bulbs, and you're trying to replace one, so maybe it's a set collection type.
Well, it has multiple games in the box.
11 games.
Yeah, that's what I remember them talking about. Like you
plus
can play
one,
it
maybe
a number.
12 days of Christmas. Ways. One game plus 11 bonus ones.
But on top of that, even more. What?
What is
we
that?
Also got some
got
really
some
cool Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh, this is from them too?
Yeah, they sent a whole goodie package.
It was part of their Kickstarter campaign.
Very cool. And then we also got this really nice card In addition to that, some custom acrylic pins.
Wow. Is this from Chad?
Yeah. So thanks so much, Chad. You're the man. And we super appreciate the gifts. And we will put them to very good use.
Christmas came early.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I did like his first line of his card. May your holidays be less tantrum and more merry.
Aww.
I guess that's still good, even if we're tantrum.
It's okay.
Chad, these are really cool.
Yeah.
They're heavy pins.
They are. They're real nice.
Well, we look forward to him coming to TantrumCon.
Yeah. I think you mentioned that in the card.
Did he?
Forward to hanging out with us.
Cool.
So, yeah, that should be a lot of fun. We'll have to do some serious gaming and play some Christmas lights and all kinds of fun stuff.
And I know lots of people right now are asking for recommendations. What can I play at Christmas? What are Christmas-themed games? So...
There you go.
Christmas lights.
Does Space Explorers...
Next year sometime.
Yeah, so it funded successfully and will be out to backers sometime next year. Good stuff coming from 25th Century, including Christmas present cards. Pretty awesome things. You were just talking about Facebook and people asking about games. Something I saw on Facebook this week that I thought was pretty interesting was somebody posted the question, what is your most proud gaming memory?
Okay.
And, people post all kinds of stuff on Facebook, and a lot of times I see, hilarious and, snarky answers. That post actually got a lot of really good, genuine, heartfelt, life-changing moments that I thought was pretty cool. I enjoyed reading through all of them. And so I started thinking about, what are my most proudest gaming moments? And so I thought for a moment on this Thanksgiving holiday season episode... Surprise! You guys all have to come up with.
Thanks, Will.
I'll start off to buy you some time. I had two, and I'll start one because this is a pretty funny one to start off with. When my girlfriend and I were first dating, we played ping pong one night.
And it's exciting.
Yeah, isn't it?
Board game related? Exciting for me.
You gave it away. You're not supposed to spoil the the girlfriend one. She was like a master ping pong player. Trashed me. Like, 6 games in a row, I didn't stand a chance. Next night, I was like, let's play something luck-based that will be fair for everyone. So we played Uno. It was just handy where we were hanging out at. And I think I beat her. She can qualify whether I'm exaggerating. 15 times in a row.
It was 29.
20? Wow. There's the 29. Memory. And I wasn't even exaggerating. 29?
Yes.
I don't even believe that. I beat her that many times in a row. It got so bad, in the last, 10 games that we were playing, because I was like, whenever you win, we'll just quit. As soon as you win one, we'll call it a night.
Oh, playing the smackdown.
Yeah.
We were tired of me winning. It was ridiculous. And I started, holding on to wild cards instead of playing them, because I was like, oh, I don't have any yellows. I guess I'll have to draw.
So we started cheating, and we couldn't even force the loss.
The favorite part, the fact that this is my most proud memory, is that she still married me.
I did.
That's cool.
And we still play games. And little did he know, I just let him win the...
Oh, is that what it was?
No,
she didn't want to say goodnight, so she kept letting you win.
This makes more sense now. I like
it. No, you really did win all those games.
It was crazy. All right, have you thought of any yet? I got another one, if not. Oh, you got one?
One of my proudest gaming moments is... Well, I guess it's just the kids and their love for games has exploded into other people's lives.
Oh, yeah.
The neighbor kids come over, and quite regularly I come in the room and they have games out playing. The neighbor kids now recognize some of the publishers. And this is a new game from this company. I love all their games, so let's play this one. So that's been pretty
generation.
Cool. Yes, that's been pretty cool to see them share their love for board gaming with others.
Cool.
Do you have anything, Kevin?
Well, I'm trying to think of a proud gaming moment. Years and years ago, we were playing the game Manila. I don't even know if it's available anymore. But basically in the game, you're trying to move these boats up the river. And in the game, you're collecting different resources based on when the ships go either into port or they could not make it and they have to go and get repaired. But if they make it into port, then everyone that's on the ship is going to get gold and like really do well.
And stocks go up for certain commodities.
Right. Well, there was this one game that like, all three ships was, like, one had to roll a two, and they're color-coded, so the brown has to, the brown die has to, is going to move the brown ship, and the yellow die moves the yellow ship. Well, there was this one time when the brown had to, like, roll a two, the red had to roll a six, and the blue had to roll, like, a four. And I just remember we're all like, ah, man, you know.
No way.
Like, and you can bet on different ships, and there's, like, things that you can do to help yourself out.
You're like, oh, I think it's going to make it, or I don't think it's going to make it, that right. sort of thing.
Well, there's also on the ship a pirate action where the spot right before it goes in the port, you can actually place a pirate there. And if the ship makes it to that spot, the pirate gets to choose not only which way it goes on, but actually gets to jump on the ship and push everyone else out.
What?
There's two pirate spots. So you can actually have two. Most time, like, that's hard. It's very hard to even have the pirate actually happen because it has to land on that spot before. For some reason, I think we had two people on the pirate action. We rolled that four, the six, and the two on the pirate spot. So two of the pirates got to jump on the two ships. It was crazy.
Just the pure
luck. It was pure luck and, like, proud, like, wow, we rolled, like...
We're amazing rollers.
They all were pirated. They're something all pirated. That rarely happens yeah, all on the same
very
roll.
Very rare. I've never seen that happen again.
You saying that triggered another thought in my mind, but I'll let Melissa go first.
Okay.
I would say probably some of the proudest moments. I love to teach games, and I demo games a lot at conventions. And when, you know, someone, you can really see that it clicks mm-hmm. as you're teaching it to them, and they're really enjoying it. And after the fact, you know, if they come up and tell you, hey, you did a great job. This past Gen Con, I was actually pretty sick. Yeah. I had, like, my voice was going, I still had people be like, thank you. I really understood that game. You did a great job teaching, which when you're not feeling great and you want to apologize the whole time for hardly having a voice, that's just, you know, it kind of makes you kind of glow inside a little bit.
And
too.
To add to that,
that is cool.
When they enjoy the game so much that they go buy it immediately,
right. mm-hmm. yeah.
makes you feel great.
Yeah, that's cool.
That is cool. So when you were saying the dice thing,
yes.
it totally reminded me of one of the first times I played any real board games with Larry the intern
okay.
was at one of our Due South game nights, and we were playing Camel Up.
Oh yeah.
And it was
oh,
the same
wow. yes. I know exactly
do
what
you remember
yes.
It was like it was the same type of deal where, you know, everybody places their bets on which camel's gonna win.
Yeah.
And then, like, you need, like, the yellow dice to come out next or whatever. And it had already been, like, a pretty lively and energetic game. I think we had the full complement plus the expansion, so we had, like, I don't even know, like, eight people or something playing this game. Every single dice roll was crazy exciting, and then, like, the very last die roll where the whole game depends on you getting, like, just the right number and just the right second to push you across the finish line. Larry pushes the pyramid thing, you know, flips it over, pushes the pyramid thing, slowly reveals the pyramid. It's the exact dice that flips the whole game, and everybody who thought they were going to win loses, and everybody who thought they were going to win, and he's, like, freaked out. He couldn't believe he had done it. He's, like, laughing and yelling. Everyone in the whole restaurant is staring at us. That's when I knew Larry should be one of our interns.
Good job, Larry.
Like, this dude is the right guy for loving games and having fun.
So one thing that Melissa might not want to say that was probably one of her proudest gaming moments was at Origins Game Fair this past year.
Yeah? Okay. I wondered if that would make it up on the list.
So I need to just say this because she might not say it. We were playing...
Don't Mess with Cthulhu.
Don't Mess with Cthulhu with Man vs. Meeple. And I think...
David and Jeremy.
Yeah, Marty might have been there mm-hmm. from Rolling Dice Taking Names. And it was in the hotel. And it was, like, late
at night.
Super late,
yeah.
And we were playing. And this is, like, a bluffing game that Melissa's not really...
I am terrible.
Was it your first time playing it, too? Or had you played it
before? It was the first
night.
Evening
yeah.
of playing
okay,
it.
Okay, right. Not first
yeah.
game, but first...
Yeah.
I am terrible, terrible at lying.
Social deduction games
bluffing.
Are not
she
her
does
forte.
Not have a poker face at all. That is...
Tell me the story, Melissa.
So I got down to this one round, and if you're not familiar with the game, there's one team that is trying to find the Elder Signs, and then you have the cultists who are trying to either prevent the people
delay
from
the
finding
process,
them or
yeah.
to reveal Cthulhu. And I happen to be a cultist this time, and you don't know who your teammates are. Mm-hmm. So
I think that's one of the like the
yeah, you don't know who to trust. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So and people are, you know, lying and saying, "Oh, I have elder signs." No, I don't have elder signs. I have the Cthulhu. No, I don't. So it got down to either the last round. Yeah, there's only one elder sign left, and people are claiming whether or not they have it. Everyone's saying, "No, I don't have it. I don't have it. I don't have it." So I said, "I have the last elder sign, and I'm the only one who claimed it." And Jeremy from Man vs. Meeple had the power. He had the choice of who to reveal the cards for. And
it was one of those loud rounds where I'm like, yeah. No, don't come over here. Don't come over here.
And so I was like, I have it. You come to me. We'll get it. We'll win. We'll definitely win. I have the elder sign.
We all negotiated back and forth so much. Man. Nobody knew who to trust.
And so he's like, okay. And he goes to flip over my card. And it's Cthulhu.
So I'm guessing that the other cultist had the elder sign.
Right.
Yes, and the other cultist was Ryan.
Who's also a terrible liar.
Not a great, doesn't always enjoy these social deduction games.
And that was the craziness. Like, they both flip over their cards. They both just schooled us. Jeremy was ahead of the whole time, been like, I feel like I can trust Melissa. She looks trustworthy. And we were all like, she must be telling the truth because she never can lie. And everybody freaked out. I think Ryan and Melissa did the, like, we're all some high five awkwardly.
Yeah.
And
Jeremy's like, I'm never going to trust you again. Right. And then I'm being like, really? I'm so trustworthy. I'm a terrible liar.
Ryan's over there, like, shaking.
He was like, the leg shake going on underneath the table. Oh, man, that was a fun one.
So that's one of the few social deduction games I will play, is Don't Mess with Cthulhu and Werewords.
Is it because of that? Did that one game build up so much confidence that you were like, I got this game?
I think it's the mechanics of the game work well for her, since you don't know who the other people are. So it's more on just...
There's more strategy of reading the specific situation than, you know, something like Resistance, where you're like, oh, come join me, and you're trying to get lots of people to join your cause. Yeah, not good at that.
Yeah, and the beauty of the game is you can be telling the truth.
Yep. And still help yourself out.
Well, right, and it not work out, and people don't trust you anyway, even though you were like, no, I really was telling the truth. So, yeah, really, really interesting game. It's one of my favorite ones. Speaking of, when are we putting together like our top 10 lists? What do we think we're going to put together?
So we have lots of top 10s that we want to work on. One is our top 10 published games of 2018. We're going to hopefully go to headquarters in a few weeks
and put all
together.
Okay.
Yeah.
A big, huge video.
Yeah, big, huge video. So that'd be 40 games.
Wow.
Buckle up, half hour. bring your popcorn.
Yeah, we've got some plans to make it work well. So that's definitely top 10. And then the other one that Melissa and I have done in the past 2 years that we want to do again is our top 10 Kickstarter prototypes that, like, Kickstarter campaigns that we were a part of. Like, we reviewed or we did something to help them out.
An opportunity to play the game ahead of time.
So, and Will and Sarah said they might also.
I think that seems like a good idea.
So we have Studio 3's top 10 Kickstarters.
Yes. And then we also will be putting out a video, top 10 kids games for the year.
Yeah,
Liam actually did the whole video.
Yeah.
And games that were his favorites this year. So
I looked back at last year's and I was like, well, look, Liam's grown up.
Yeah.
We watched several videos recently where
he's getting better on camera. Not that he was worse on camera, but he's gotten much better on camera, more confident. So
what's funny is I'll hear them walking through the house once in a while and they'll just say, like, hey, welcome to Tantrum House. I'm Lincoln. I've heard that at least like two or three times. It's randomly like, what is he doing out there?
So
fun stuff. We almost forgot. We actually have a house guest who's been waiting out in the cold all night. We need to let him in.
Yeah.
Let's say hi to Ross Thompson. Hey!
I'm doing really well. How are you guys doing?
We are doing fantastic. Awesome. We've been playing all kinds of good games. We actually just did a playthrough video of one of USAopoly's games, which I'm sure we'll talk about in just a minute. But just introduce yourself to our audience for a second and tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, so I'm Ross Thompson. Hey, and I'm the new marketing manager over at USAopoly.
Very, very cool. Yeah, the game that I was just talking about was I can't think of what the name is. It's the gem mining game.
Snow White.
Yes.
And the gemstone mining game. Yes.
Yeah, very fun. We've enjoyed a lot of USAopoly's games, especially this year. I feel like they've had a really great run with some really cool stuff coming out. My son Liam actually just put together his top 10 games that you should buy your kids for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I won't tell you which game was number one, but any USAopoly fans should go watch that video.
Oh, cool. That's great. Yeah, they've really brought out a lot of cool games this year, and it's been really neat to see the quality of licensed games kind of level up all across the industry. So
very much so. What's some of the cool stuff you can tell us about coming down the pipe?
Well, I mean, like, it's like this week essentially, USAopoly came out with Codenames Harry Potter, Fantastic Beasts Perilous Pursuit, Codenames Munchkin, a bunch of cool different Clues and Monopolies. Which are, I mean, it's funny because like people bring those up, and I'm like, man. The Bob's Burgers Clue they just came out with is one of the coolest things. I've only been at USAopoly about a month and a half, and they had a big product day where they're going over all the different products because the PM team's like, here's the new things we're working on. So here's Call of Duty Black Ops Risk, and here's this game, and then here's Bob's Burgers Clue. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I love Bob's Burgers. And they're like, well, what's neat about this one is the Bob's Burgers team essentially made this clue. USAopoly has a really, really good in-house artist team and graphics team that does all this stuff, but for the Bob's Burgers one, they really wanted to be more involved with cool. it. But then with the Bob's Burgers Clue is, so it's all by them, which is really, really neat. And when you play, it almost feels like an episode.
Nice.
It's Clue, and you're still rolling to move and do all these things, but all the art, all the pieces, it's all very unique for Bob's Burgers, which I think is one of those fun things that, you know, people don't realize that how much the hobby, like the classic hobby stuff, in regards to classic games with Monopoly, Yahtzee, and Clue kind of helped drive a lot of retail sales and stuff too, which kind of,
it's really funny because that didn't even cross my mind that it was USAopoly. But when I saw that game on Facebook for the first time, one of my just random friends, not a board gamer at all, was just like, this is my next game. And I was like, pull them into the hobby. Yes, it's working.
Oh yeah. It's funny how that works. Because even with all the risks that USAopoly does, it's not just classic risk. You know, like there's all these different scenarios that are put in and all of that. So, because that's how the different brands work. So even though we're all used to, you know, playing the next big, awesome, classic modern game, there's still a fun way to kind of get that in there. So, but along with that, you know, USAopoly's got a lot of cool stuff. And obviously the Snow White mining game and other big hobby-oriented stuff.
Very cool. We've still got a couple conventions left in the year before 2019 sneaks up. Are you going to be at any of those? Are you representing, or what's your?
I'll be at PAX Unplugged.
Awesome.
Okay. Cool. That's we'll see right. You there.
Good. Yeah. We'll be at booth 2124, showing off all the new Harry Potter games, and we'll have a cool selection of other products too. So I'm excited. I didn't get to go to Board Game Geek, which was this past weekend. So it's going to be fun to go out to Philly.
Yeah, this would be cool. We haven't been to PAX yet. I'm actually still not getting to go, but Sarah and Melissa are going to hit this one up.
It should be a lot of fun. We'll have to stop by and check out what all you we'll have at the booth.
Yeah, it's a fun show. PAX, they do a really good job at really building a fun community and vibe at the show. I've been to 3 of the 5 first PAXes.
Oh, wow.
So maybe 4. I didn't go to PAX Australia, but I had the flu. Literally that week, I was going to go for Ninja Division.
Oh, wow.
But like with PAX East and PAX Unplugged and PAX South and all those PAX Prime stuff, they do a really good job at making a show you want to go to. And I think with PAX Unplugged last year, they really built a good vibe around that. And then we ended up finding the oldest pub in Philly, which was one of like the 6th oldest pubs in the U.S., which was like right next door to our hotel. And that was pretty cool. So
that's cool. Got a good atmosphere and everything.
Some to the door, but we're gonna hang out. It'll be okay.
All right.
So what's up?
We always find out, yes. That's how we roll. We are going to PAX. Yeah, we'll be there, and then our Tantrum Con is coming up after that. I think we might be doing a USAopoly tournament. I can't remember what we're rolling out with, but all kinds of fun stuff coming up on the horizon. So obviously, this is our Thanksgiving episode.
Oh, great! Excellent. Gobble, gobble.
Right. What's your Thanksgiving plans look like? Are you going to be doing any gaming over the holiday?
Yeah, I hang out with my family. My mom and dad host a big thing. And so we usually actually play Risk or Monopoly, funny enough. So that's not we've got a whole Thompson family rule set.
House rules.
It's super house rules. Like I was raised on that. It was very, very ruthless. So you've got to be able to roll the dice in the box. So if the dice fall out of the box, they don't count. And Risk, if you roll the wrong number of dice when you attack or defend, you automatically lose.
What? What?
And then for Monopoly, you're not allowed to tell the other person when you land on their property. So you've got to pay attention to...
Oh, you're not allowed to remind them that they own
it? Yeah, you can't remind... So like if I land on your property and you aren't paying attention, you know, Sarah couldn't tell you, hey, he's on your property.
I feel like that's a normal rule.
A house rule we've been playing with for a while.
Yeah, it's one of those things. And then I also totally paid for a bunch of properties that weren't his growing up too. My dad's a very nice gamer. So
very nice.
Yeah, so then and then we're also planning on getting a TI4 game together on Saturday. So
Ooh, yeah. That's what we do. We do some like Caverna. We like to play the 4-hour games on the Thanksgiving holiday. So yeah, you've got a little extra time. Get a little long game in there. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, with the new expansion or with the new edition, it only goes like maybe 5 hours, maybe 6. So it's not too bad.
Yeah, that's cool. Is that your family again, or is that like?
Are you playing with the roommate and then a bunch of my like my core gamer friends? I wish my parents played TI4. That'd be awesome.
I was gonna be jealous. That was
yeah.
All right. So, is there anything else cool that we need to be aware of going on at USAopoly?
So, staying in tune for next year, USAopoly is going to be coming up on their 25th anniversary a company, and then Telestrations will be having its 10th year next year.
Man,
wow! Already?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so we'll be doing some fun stuff for that, so be sure to stay tuned.
All right, very cool. That'll be a lot of fun. All right, so we got one more question for you.
Yep.
This is my favorite one to ask. This is like the shelf of shame question.
Excellent.
what game do you have still in shrink wrap that you need to get out on the table soon?
Oh, man, I can literally look across my board game shelf right now. We've got Consenticle, Apocrypha, Dungeon of Degenerates, and then Warhammer Quest. That's what's currently on the I need to play shelf.
Yeah. What prioritize those for us? What's the next one you're gonna play?
Probably Apocrypha.
Okay.
And then I want to get Dungeons going, but I gotta get some of the minis for it. So that'll be cool. And then Warhammer Quest. I was gonna pop it open, but I think I'm gonna wait until the Blackstone Fortress comes out.
Makes good sense. Well, cool, man. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for giving us some insight on some fun stuff coming down the pipe. And we will look forward to catching up with you at PAX.
Sounds great. Looking forward to it.
All right, man. Bye.
Bye.
Later.
Well, it's great having Ross from USAopoly on the show. They got some cool things happening. And look forward to that. Look forward to, Sarah and Melissa seeing him at PAX Unplugged. And we have some videos from USAopoly coming out that we did, so you can check that out on our YouTube channel. Speaking of all that, we have Tantrum Con.
What?
Yes.
Tantrum Con.
Tantrum Con is coming up February 15th, 16th, and 17th, so look at that at www.tantrumcon.com. And before that, we have our first ever Tantrum House Award Show.
I know, I'm pretty pumped about this. We've gotten an exciting, like crazy higher number response rate than I thought we would get on that.
Hundreds and hundreds of votes.
Yeah, we put out a thing which is already closed now, so too late for you to submit your
idea. Yeah, it is closed.
But we requested submissions for several different categories and got just a resounding response from y'all. So thanks, y'all.
And some of those came down pretty close.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was like just votes away from each other.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very crazy. So we'll be doing kind of a premiere event where we'll announce that. Do we have a date for that?
January 5th.
January 5th.
Yes.
Be sure to tune in for that. We're going to actually do it as a YouTube premiere. So you should get, if you're one of our subscribers, you should get a notification. If you're not one of our subscribers, go do that right now. It's going to be a big deal. We're actually having guest announcers join us for the show. We're hoping to be able to contact some of the winners so that they can kind of share in the excitement. So be sure to tune in January 5th for that event.
8 p.m.
8 p.m. EST.
EST still.
That's where we live
at, right? Because we're not EDT at that point yet.
Right. Okay. So that'll be cool.
Oh, I'm always confused.
Whatever. It's Eastern time.
Yeah, so join us for that. And then, as Kevin mentioned, if you haven't gotten your tickets for Tantrum House, Tantrum Con, when does this thing go live? Monday.
Yeah.
So we're running a Black Friday special, internet peoples and people listening to this podcast. And I think it ends Monday night at midnight.
Oh, wow.
So this will be your chance to get the best tickets. This is like back to season opener prices.
Oh, nice.
If you get your badge today, right now, listen on Monday.
All right.
So yeah, exciting stuff. We'll be releasing all of our events in the next month-ish
or
so.
January, yep. Which I've been talking to some of our guests that are coming, and they're gonna they can sign up in January to actually game with some of our guests.
Sweet, that'll be very cool. So. A couple more tournaments coming together soon. Yeah, whew, it's coming fast. I can't believe how quickly this year is like wrapping up.
Yes.
So we have not had our Happy Thanksgiving yet, but you guys probably have if you're listening to this on Monday. Hope you had a wonderful time. I was about to wrap it up, but I think, do we have one more contest thing we need to announce before we say goodbye?
Right before we say goodbye, if you'd like to enter for a chance to win this copy of Intel with the expansion, go to our website, www.tantrumhouse.com, and on the right-hand side, you'll see a little banner that says, enter for the contest
now. Yeah.
Contest now. Do that and you'll be entered to win a that copy of Intel.
Yeah, we'll announce a winner sometime either through email or on the show. Be sure, we'll remind you next year, but once we hit the new year, we'll reset that list. But if you get in right now, any of the contests that we have for the rest of the year, you'll be entered in if you go do that website thing right now. So
yep.
Join our group, and hopefully you'll have a chance to win that one.
Yep.
One more thing we have going on at Tantrum House.
So many things.
Is we have some Black Friday sales on our Etsy shop.
Oh, yeah.
So Monday at midnight is the last of those
Cyber
sales.
Monday?
Yeah, so you can use code BLACKFRIDAY10 to get 10% off anything in our store. And then you can also use code FREESHIPCYBERWEEK to get free shipping in the U.S.
Oh. Yeah, so
check those out.
Bunches of Christmas cards and greeting cards, stickers, t-shirts, all kind of cool stuff
in
there.
Go to Etsy and check that out.
Yeah. Yeah, fun stuff.
Oh, and one more thing.
More things!
Yes, if you are going to be at PAX Unplugged, Sarah and I will be there at the Grand Gamers Guild booth. It's in the 3000s. It's near the back right corner.
Okay, cool.
Yep. We'd love to say hi and possibly play a game or two.
Totally fun. Let's say bye at this point and wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving and great December coming up. And we will see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you.
Holmes, Holmes.
What is it, Watson?
I think we might have a new case. How can we help, Miss?
It's Mrs. Fields, and I need you to settle a dispute. We have a small home with room for one table. My husband wants a fancy gaming table, but I believe a dining table is more important. I'm sure you agree with me, Mr. Holmes.
What if I told you I could satisfy both your wishes?
I'd say that'd be astounding, Holmes.
The answer is the Holmes, or perhaps the Watson, depending on the size of your room.
You're not making any sense, old chap.
Those are the names of an ingenious product from Game Toppers LLC. The toppers are a portable solution that turns your current table into a high-end gaming table at a fraction of the cost.
Do you mean to say that the topper can be put on and taken off the table with ease?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. You truly are as amazing as people say. I will take a look at Game Toppers LLC right away.